So the theme of this month is the nature of a servant. We've done two classes already on that, and this morning we're going to talk about serving requires growth. Just find out for your neighbor, when is the last time you served someone for nothing? Have a conversation with your neighbor on that. When is the last time you served somebody for nothing? Not to get any cash back. I know moms do that every day, but moms do a lot of that every day, doing stuff for kids and dad and all that. That's a lot. And I'm sure dads do the same thing as well, to a certain degree. Dads do something as well. Okay. If you think about it, if you really think about serving requires growth, the reason I wanted you to talk about that, there's a lot of things we do because of our roles in families and stuff like that. And as a mother, as a dad, you're doing a lot of things. But to go to the next level, there's a growth that we all need to have. And that growth has to do with asking yourself, is it possible that you've kept your growth as a Christian and so, or as a person, full stop? And so you're not able to serve in certain capacities because you've just given up on who you are. Or maybe you've said, this is the best I can do. And God says, you know, we can do much more. You know, the outward mindset, it's basically coming out of this space of, here's what I can do and I cannot do anymore. You can limit yourself. You can limit yourself and say so many things about yourself, what you cannot do. And God says, there's much we can do with you. Does that make sense? And God says, there's a lot you can really do. You see, we always think I cannot do something until circumstances force us to do something more. And yet, many of us are comfortable to say, I cannot do anything more than this. God says, there's much more I can work with you. I am the source of everything. Here in Philippians chapter 2, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Let's get that right. It's possible to do a lot of things in a very bad-tempered space. To do things but be angry. To do things but complain. It's okay to say that's not right. I'm not talking about that. It's okay to say something needs to change. But what I'm talking about is having an attitude that is typically of, I'm giving myself, but my heart is not in it. The energy is more destructive when you're in that space. When you serve people, but your heart is not in it, you're more destructive than helpful. You're complaining, you're grumbling within your heart. It's not awesome. It's not awesome when you go to a teller who's not nice, either at Walmart or Kroger or whatever it is. It's just not awesome. Or in the bank, whatever place it is, it's not awesome when you're being served to someone who's grumbling and complaining. But we can do the same in a church setup, in our family groups, in our just relationships period where we're always complaining and grumbling. We don't say it, but our demeanor, our countenance is terribly off cue of Jesus. And it's not fun. The environment goes down the wrong way. So let's get our going on this area of serving requires growth. Let's start here. Choose short-term pain and grow. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. If you go through some challenges in life as you're serving, it's some discipline. It's not pleasant at the time. But if you allow it to train you, it produces something. Peace, righteousness. Because it's training you. So, the reason we don't really want to rise up and serve in some capacity is because there's a pain involved. I mean, let's face it, there are people that come early. There's a pain involved to come early. It's Sunday morning, you're waking up early, you'll be here. The musicians are here around about 8, am I right? Or was it 7? 8, they're here 8. They didn't sleep in, they're here 8. Does that make sense? There's a training that's coming out of that. They're very consistent. I guess they're the easiest guys to be up tomorrow morning. Does that make sense? So I've been doing this, they've been doing it for a long time. There's a pain related to that. A lot of people will not succeed in anything in life because they will not take the short-term pain. Period. And that's true with money. That's true with your spiritual life. That is true even with helping someone to know God. There's a pain sometimes that comes with just the anxiety of doing that. Does that make sense? See, I remember playing and as a young kid, sometimes you're not putting on shoes. You're just running around. And then I got a splinter of some wood go through my nail. It's very painful. I couldn't walk. And my dad wants to get it out, but I'm afraid. I'm like, Dad, are you sure you're going to get it out right? Each time I'm putting my leg out, he tries to touch it. It's so painful, I put it right back. Meanwhile, for me to get out to play, that has to go. But I'm torn between the pain I'm feeling on my turn versus getting out. Guess what? Back then, how they did it is they used the pin. And they put the pin on fire, and then they would just get it out. For me, that's a lot of pain. Why should I put my leg out, and I'm seeing a pin, and you're putting that in my leg, and then get it out? And I'm sure you've been through the same thing somewhere. You know, eventually they say, okay, let me just see. Before you know it, it was out. There was a pinch, but it was out. Many of us are stuck in, it's so painful, I don't want you to get it out. Meanwhile, life is passing by. Life is going by. There is a pain that you must take to grow. That pain should train you. That pain should grow you. That pain should make you a different person. Instead of being stuck in the same space of just doing the same things, it's time to take on the pain and says, okay, what do we need to face so that we can be different? Does that make sense? And that is also true about just helping anyone know God. That is true about running a home. That is true about making changes. That is true about anything you undertake. There is a pain that you have to go through to turn around. Yeah, the pain of saving, just saving and not using the money. And going to the shops and looking at the chocolate and not buying it and just keeping it, say, I'll buy something more important for me. Amen. That training is important, right? Yeah. Some level of pain comes through that because, wait a minute, man, I could just buy the stuff I wanted to buy right now. But God says, you know what? But painful later, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms. I don't know if you know this. If you stayed in your bed for 1 week, you would need some help for your muscles to come back. All of us, if we went today to bed and never woke up for another 1 week, we'll all need to go to some physiotherapy to get physical help. So, strengthening yourself is to put yourself out there. It's not to wait for the circumstances to be favorable. It's to start letting God walk through your life. And it will change you tremendously. Amen? So I have a challenge for you. What is that one thing you want to serve in, but you're not doing it because you have not been strengthened? It is time to start stepping out. Amen? Pain. Choose short-term pain and grow. Why be stuck forever? Get through the pain and grow. Amen? When you're avoiding your pain, you're really only avoiding your growth. Is it possible that the reason there's nothing going on is because you've really been avoiding it? Some of us need to have some honest conversations, but you're so afraid, so you're not growing. That conversation needs to happen. You need to have those honest conversations for change to take place. Some of us need to forgive, and that is a tough thing, but you need to do that for change to happen. Some of us need to stop blaming everybody and start being the change that you want to see in your house, in your family group, in the church, and come about and start serving in that capacity. Amen? And not sit around and complain to everybody else and do nothing about that change. That is the pain you need to take. Does that make sense? Some of us need to have just a serious evaluation and say, you know what? Enough of excuses. I'm going to let God use me. Amen? Secondly, how have challenges affected you? Challenges can affect you in two ways. One, inspire you to want to do great. Two, make you very angry, resentful, give up on everything. And there are many challenges. Challenges of life. Just the challenge of the fact that you have a job that is not very good. That's a challenge. It's a job. You need it, but it's not very good. Does it inspire you to go further? Or are you so angry with all people that employ you? So you're so unhappy that God can't bless you with the next job because you see every potential employer as a bad person. You may have a bad one right now, but there's a good one waiting for you next door. That's your challenge. Does that make sense? What is your challenge? Your challenge may be that the last time you talked to someone about God, they were not very nice. So you never talked to someone for the last 2 years. But you really can talk to people joyfully, and they may listen, they may not listen, but it's on them, it's not on you. So you need to let go of that stuff. You know, what's your challenge? Your challenge may be that it's just hard to be happy because of different dynamics in your life. And you're waiting for those dynamics to change. No, you need to grow through those challenges. Those dynamics exist so that you may grow, so that you may go to God. The Bible says that therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself with also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. So Christ, you see Christ coming to the cross. What happens? The journey to the cross is a painful one. He starts by praying with his friends and saying, you know what? I know I need to do this, but can you guys come and pray with me? Because, yeah, the Spirit is willing, but the pain that I know I have to endure is not something I'm willing to just take on because I feel the pain coming. So Christ's attitude then is, let's pray. In other words, the way he take on these challenges, the more challenges came for him, he prayed more. How are you dealing with challenges? Are you even praying about it? So he begins to pray. He prays more about it. But then he tells his friends, guys, I need someone to pray with me. John and, you know, Peter and his John dad, let's pray together. Instead, they fall asleep. They fall asleep. How did Jesus deal with that? Well, he goes back three times. Can you pray with me? They don't actually pay attention. They keep falling asleep. Jesus doesn't give up because of that challenge. He continues praying. Have you given up on your family group because of how everybody is? Have you given up on your life because of the environment? Jesus didn't. He gets on the cross. He looks at everyone. Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Amen. That's the challenge. He's on the cross. These people put him on the cross. We put him on the cross. They're putting knives and all that to him. I mean, they're jarring him. And he says, forgive them. Forgive them. You see, how has challenges affected you? They made Jesus a better, he forgave us, made him a better person. I have a question for you. Is it possible that challenges have made you just dead, dry, empty? That you're so dejected, you stopped trying. You stopped applying yourself. Because there's too many challenges in life. The fact that you face challenges is a sign that you are alive and well. If you are not having challenges, you're dead. As long as you walk this universe, the earth, you're going to have some challenges. And that's good stuff. But what is the effect? What effect are you getting from those challenges? Are you growing or dying out? Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, I'm going to face this, that God has allowed this for me so that God's name is glorified. Not, why is it happening to me? You know, when you ask that question, I want to remind you of something. Every time you look at your life, there's somebody going through twice your problems, and they're happy. Yeah, you may have only $1 in the account, and you're feeling very frustrated. There's another guy that has no food and place to sleep, but they're very happy. You may have overload of assignments if you're in campus. And you say, why is this happening? Get some organization and do their work. But meanwhile, you are on your way to graduate. There's a guy that would exchange with you any day and take that position. Yeah, you may be in high school and some people pick on you all the time. They have their own insecurities, but they're projecting them on you. Listen, God has you. You can stand up and have character through that stuff. Even married people, we got challenges. I thought you guys don't have any challenges. You got challenges. But are you praying through them and transforming? That's how Jesus dealt with life. When they tried to trick him, he stood up and was respectful as he spoke with the synagogue rulers. So the question I want to put to you today is, how is that affecting you? Are you giving up, angry? What's going on? When life is pressurizing you, are you just wanting to give up or is it, thank you, Lord, give me the strength to manage this day? We have to come to a Jesus place to understand that. We don't grow when things are easy. We grow when we face challenges. I don't know of any player that gets better by sitting at home. They have to go and do some exercise. I don't know of any guy that does well by just doing nothing. You got to face some challenges. That's why James says there that, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. It's all about how you see things. What lens are you putting on? What lenses do you have? Are you seeing them as an opportunity? Everything you're going through is an opportunity to grow. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Endurance, that's how you walk with your muscles. You exercise. And when you have much pain, you keep going until you totally can't go, because that's when you build out endurance. You don't give up at the slightest pain of your muscle. Oh my goodness, I can't do one extra because I'm feeling pain. Now that's when you have to keep going. After that, your muscles get stronger. You come out of that place feeling, I can run another mile. Does that make sense? That is how you build endurance. Have you given up so quickly? And I'm not talking about hardening. I'm not talking about hardening. It's growing up and making sure that you're growing from the challenges you face. Grow. Don't get resentful. Find God in that situation. Figure out how to be godly in that situation. Amen? What weight or sin is the cause of stumbling in your life? Sin is obvious. You're missing the mark. That you're just missing things. You're not being... I don't want to talk about sin from a guilty point of view, from missing the mark, from a point of, I'm not being what God wants me to be. You can deal with that from seeing the grace of God and repent, or you can deal with that from a place of shame and guilt and just dislike yourself and hate yourself and put yourself down. That doesn't help you. That doesn't help me. What helps us is to come to this place of, wait a minute, how is this affecting me? Not just sin. We may have other weight issues, i.e., you just have bad relationships that you're not resolving. You know another thing that can be weight? You can be in a church like this, but you have no friends. That's weight. You're in a church this big, but you have no friends. You feel alone a lot. Or even if you have friends, you cannot really talk through deep things. You say all the surface stuff, the sun is bright, it's springtime. You talk about that stuff, but you can never talk about your pain because you're afraid to be judged. What will people think about me? And so that's your weight. It holds you down. You cannot thrive when you hardly bring your heart to surface. You cannot thrive. It's even well documented in science that if you don't have deep relationships, you will not thrive. I put science in you because we live in this world of science. But Jesus figured that long time. And yet many of us today have that weight of not being in a church but not feeling vulnerable enough, being true to who they are. So we perform and keep putting up masks. It's a terrible place to be. We feel alone a lot. We don't enjoy connection. We don't enjoy love. And we don't see who God is. That's one weight that we can be carrying around. But sin is another. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. It actually slows your spiritual life down. That simple thing of just connecting with God and with people. Who do you have as a friend? People that you hang out. Friendship. Not people that gossip or agree with you. Real friends. People that value you and feel with you. Empathize with you. You have to invest in that. They're not going to fall from the sky. You have to invest in that. Have time with people. Have a meal with people. Bring them to your house. Go to their house. Don't sit and say, nobody's invited me to their house. Invite yourself to their house. Nobody invites me. Well, invite yourself to that house. Say, like Jesus said today, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today and we may have a meal. I have nothing to give you. I'll bring myself with some food. I'll bring some pizza. We'll eat together. Well, there's no seat. I'll bring some seats as well. Or we can sit on the floor. Why? I can't see you today. When can you see me? I'll tell you when. Well, no, we are together right now. Give me a date 2 months from now. I'll put it down. Some of us like to say, I will think about it. That's a very smart way of saying, I don't want you to come. We've been around a long time. We know these stories. Oh, I'll let you know. Why can't you let me know right now? We're together right now. I'll text you. You never text. And some of us, I will come impromptu at your door and you'll not let me inside the house. We're in the light, are we? Are we? So why are we afraid of having people in our house? Now, be careful that you just don't show up incognito all the time. People have things to do. I understand that. People have things to do. But sometimes it's a 1 minute conversation. Surely you can let them in. And you can excuse yourself, say, by the way, I had a few things to accomplish. It was nice seeing you. Can we have a plan when you come next? Does that make sense? But this whole idea of being weird is weight that slows us down. So because trust dies, it slows everything in the congregation. Because trust dies, it slows the speed of doing things. Because trust is not something we have and really enjoy, then we question every little thing. Why this? Why that? We question, why this? Why that? Because we lack trust. If we had trust, it'll fly. It'll fly. It'll be amazing. Trust is what we must restore. And we start with having a relationship with God and with each other. And that's the weight that drops us down. So slows us down. Especially sin that so easily trips us up and let us run with endurance. This is not easy stuff. Especially if you're coming from a background of being hurt, not trusting, and difficult issues. But you have to have endurance to run the race that God has set before us. I like the fact that it says that God has set before us. In other words, God has us. God knows what we need. He's providing everything we need. There's no need to be afraid. Set forth and go out and do what God wants you to do. You will do well. You will do well. See, turn your wounds into wisdom. Church, some of us have wounds from long time, wounds from before you're born, wounds from when you're born, wounds from being in church. Turn them into wisdom. Don't turn them to an excuse of giving up on relationships with God and with one another. And your stumbling block, it says, turn your wounds into wisdom and your stumbling blocks into stepping stones. All the stumbling stuff I've talked about, relationship issues. Romans 5 says, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. It's okay to suffer if you grow in your perseverance. Did I say a bad word? It went pretty quiet. Suffering is amazing. If it's producing something in you, it's terrible. If it doesn't, if you took Wi-Fi away, Wi-Fi from some people, from some generation, that's suffering for them. That's okay, but you can connect. Another generation Wi-Fi means nothing. Does that make sense? One thing I know, if I took food from everybody, that would be some suffering for everybody. But that's fasting. You understand that? It can bring you closer to God. So, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. When you've persevered and you've seen God come through, you are never giving up. Is it possible that you've just given up, that God will not come through? No, He will. But in His time. So you have to worship Him for who He is. So He says, hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When you're going through these times, you need to remember God. And when you remember God, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to do its work. That is to submit to the Holy Spirit, to be joyful, to be patient, to be peaceful, to allow the Holy Spirit to do its work in your heart. If you persevere but not allow the Holy Spirit to do its work, then you get hardened, not happy. You judge, you don't understand. You get resentful, you don't grow. That is the value of allowing the work, the things we go through, to transform us. Then we can serve people. When people come talking to us through issues, we say, I understand, I've been there. I understand what it means to be in this space. Let's finish here. Endure and scorn your challenges. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. It's very easy to fix your eyes on something else. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus. What are you fixing your eyes on? Have you ever noticed when you're driving, if you look that way, the car starts going that way? If you look that way, you're like, this way. Make sense? And I was thinking to myself, maybe it's just because I'm getting in my middle age here. Maybe that's because in the past I would say I could look and do. But when I think about it deeply, I hardly looked any other way. I'd look at the road. Wherever you look at, the car will go that direction. In your life, whatever you're fixing your eyes on, your life will start going that direction. What are your eyes fixed on? On Jesus or the challenges or whatever is playing in your life? In other words, I'm not asking you to be in denial. To say, I am going through this. Yes, but Jesus, you can help me with that. To say that is to study that out in the Bible. To say that is to pray that, to pray about that. To say that is to have friends you talk through. Because God helps us, not just with Him, but with people in your life as well. God does not just work alone. You cannot just work with God alone. You need people in your life as well. Does that make sense? And that's a friendship issue. So fix your eyes on Jesus, because where you fix your eyes on, that's where stuff goes. It says, He's the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. He's the source of our faith. He perfects our faith. Why would I put my faith, my life, in someone who did not begin with? I mean, God created me. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for you. God knows you, completely knows you, completely loves you. But you have to trust Him and say, God, I want you to help me change this. Many a times we don't trust God. We say verbally, I trust God, but our actions say something else. It's not just that we say it. Do we really practice that, allowing God to walk with us? Or do we allow God to mold us and change our lives? It's the perfect of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross. The cross was a place of shame, a place all the bad people were taken to. But He was not that, and He went to the cross. The Bible says that, scorning its shame, showing contempt, but basically rose above that cross. Is it possible that you're not rising above the issues that are taking charge of you? You have to rise above it. Is it possible that you don't have the discipline to sleep when you should be? Hopefully you sleep by after the end of today, which is midnight. You're not going into 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Then you wonder why I can't wake up the next day. Or if I wake up the next day, I need 3 cups of coffee just to get going. And then you go to a meeting and you're hardly hearing what they're saying, but your eyes are open. You wonder what happened. You need to come to the cross and overcome those habits that are keeping you up during the night. come to the cross and overcome and scorn the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You can overcome whatever is taking you captive. But you will do that by going to the grace. You will not do that by shaming yourself. We will not do that by shaming each other. That's not what we got to do. We've got to go to the cross. Shaming doesn't work. If anything, shaming just drives us to the negative side. The cross is not a tool of shame. It's a place of hope, of love, of deliverance that God can take care of me. The cross is not a place to beat yourself down. The cross is a place of, oh my goodness, I can overcome stuff. That's what it is. So I ask you this morning, is it possible that you only held back because you've never figured it right? If you do, go to the cross and stop feeling shame and having hope and encouragement. You truly can overcome and grow and start serving in many capacities. God bless you.